Holmes & Hops is proudly supported by Platt Insurance, your local independent insurance agency offering auto, home, life, business, and farm insurance. They also have a team of specialists that help you with insuring your brewery or winery. Platt Insurance, helping you protect your tomorrow. For more information or a quote, please call them at 330-856-6244 or visit them on the web at plattinsurance.com. Hello, everyone. Lisa Resnick at the Holmes & Hops studio, and I am here with Stacia Ertest. Rhymes with Curtis. Thank you. She helped me out in order to make that right. And she is here with United Way, as well as your Women United.
Women United, yep.
And then we also have one of the other founders of Women United here, Sue Filipovich, who also happens to be my broker at Bergen Freakin. And she's also a broker at Bergen Real Estate. Because Sue just can't find enough
to do. I need right? more. Just need more.
We obviously don't harass her enough at work, so we need to up our games. So thank you guys so much for coming. I really appreciate it.
This is fun, yeah.
This is, and you guys are the final one of my month of nonprofits, is showing how strong our local nonprofits are in helping keep our community going.
Wonderful. And the volunteers too help with those nonprofits.
100%. So I think I mentioned this to you both, that I always thought that United Way was just this large national organization. I never really thought about how it impacted us locally until, like, I started getting involved with the Day of Caring that you guys do. I realized the actual impact and importance and significance of United Way locally that you guys are.
Yeah, I think a lot of people hear United Way and they know we do something good, but they're not sure what. And I think that's really part of the beauty of it, is the name is nationwide and actually worldwide, but locally we're really focused on what the greatest need is here in our community. So it may be a different focus than another United Way in another town or another city. So about 5 years ago, actually longer now, really started doing the research on what is the greatest need. And it really came down to early education in our area and learning to read by third grade, because those kids who couldn't do that were less likely to graduate high school and less likely to go on and have a successful career or life. So that has really been our focus, early education programs, wraparound services. So what does that mean?
Yeah, so that was exactly what I was about to ask you.
So we are in this year 10 schools, a lot of it virtually at this point, with an after school program where we do additional academics. We also provide enrichment, bring in Smarts, bring in Ballet Western Reserve, bring in Chess's Life, and we feed the kids a warm meal every night. So what we're finding is a lot of kids, especially in the inner city, but really all over, you might look at Sebring, you might look at some of the outer areas, the rural areas, there are a lot of kids who don't have that person at home, maybe mom and dad, who can help them with homework. Maybe they're being raised by grandma, maybe mom is working an overnight shift, you know, and they need that extra support system and resources. We also found there were a lot of kids who, quite frankly, weren't eating a good meal from the time they left school till the next morning. And if you're hungry, you're not able to focus on learning either. So it's really about providing those extra things, food pantries in those schools, vision screening, eyeglasses, trying to provide those things for the kids who may not have that at home. We also have a pre-K program in 19 school districts where kids going into kindergarten who don't maybe test as where they should be at the level to start kindergarten. They go through a 4-week boot camp, we kind of call it, where they get to know their kindergarten teacher. They go to school for 4 weeks, half a day, and start the literacy process. And we're finding that their scores, we pre and post test them, the average score jumps 12 points in that 4-week period. So now the kindergarten teacher is really having kids coming in more on an even level than having kids who maybe didn't even go to preschool or, had a lot of at-home support before they started kindergarten. And our third education program really is the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, which a lot of people have heard about. And I can say right now, we have 6,000 children in Mahoning County under the age of 5 registered. So what that means is they're getting a free book in the mail every single month, age appropriate, all over the county. And that, again, is really to promote literacy and reading at an early age. And the one thing I will say, Lisa, is, a lot of people think United Way, supporting local nonprofits. We still do that. We support 35 nonprofits in our community. Everything, and when I say support, I'm saying funding. Yes. Everything from the Boys and Girls Club to the Salvation Army to Help Network. And what this allows is folks can donate to United Way. We have a volunteer committee who vets all of the nonprofits and their programs. So we look who needs that funding, who's doing a great job in addressing the needs. And you can feel confident that United Way is making sure that they're seeing results, that those nonprofits are doing what they say they're doing, and that it's really going to those nonprofits who are doing that good work.
So if I was, Sue and I worked at a nonprofit, and we were looking for that additional support funding, we would be able to fill out an application, and that, where would that be available for us to be able to do that?
So our funding cycles typically have been every 2 years. It's been a little different with COVID because we're trying to help those nonprofits for emergency funding. So that's something that even our partner nonprofits, we've really expanded to those other nonprofits who've needed extra support during COVID and tried to make that process as really easy as possible. Those food pantries who know they need extra help. So that's been a little bit of a different process, but typically our funding cycle is every 2 years, meaning you apply, and then if you get funding, you know you will be getting that funding at that level for 2 years, so that you can, your budget can be a little bit more in place for the next 2 years, other than having to try to figure that out every year.
Yes, I just finished my business finance class, so then that would mean your cash flow or your net capital or networking capital. Thank you.
There you go. Very good. Yep.
Thank you, Jeff. You know who you are. I did listen and pay attention.
And one thing I'll add is when nonprofits do apply for funding, it's not staff who decides who's going to get what. We have a volunteer committee every 2 years who gets together, and it's really made up of community leaders. We really look at United Way as the communities. Yes, the staff is there to make sure things are going and we're continuing on, but it's really community leaders who come in then and decide on those nonprofits and where that money should go.
That's phenomenal, and that's definitely a lot more than what I knew before this. Now, I know Sue mentioned and I mentioned that when we receive paychecks through a corporation or company, it gave you the option to be able to donate to nonprofit, to United Way. Mm-hmm. Right, Sue?
Right. When I first was introduced to United Way was through a company that I work with and had part of my paycheck going to United Way. So that was my first experience with United Way. And from then on, just realized the impact that United Way has locally here for our own nonprofits in our valley.
And that's really been a way that United Way can raise those dollars. Right now, about 50% of what we raise comes from workplace campaigns. And really, the beauty of it is that everyone in the community can feel that they're helping out, because mm-hmm. if they can maybe give a dollar or two out of their paycheck, it's not like we're going to them and saying, hey, can you write a check for $200 today to United Way? This is exactly. this is a way the workplace campaign is, where we can go into the workplace, for instance, and tell them about the work we're doing. We can say, if you need help, United Way is here. If you know someone who needs help, please have them call 211. We fund that help center. If you need to go to the Salvation Army, it's there. These are places we fund. If you can help us help the community, we would really appreciate, you know, your support. If you can give a dollar or two out of your paycheck, hopefully that doesn't hurt as much and it's a little easier.
Well, I love about that idea is, like you're saying, is people do feel like $1 or $2 is achievable to be able to donate. And they might not be thinking accumulatively how much that is by the end of the year, but it's a substantial amount of money. And I'm not going to mention what president campaign basically raised a significant amount of money based upon $10 donations sure. that were provided by people who supported them. So I always think, if you can't even give the big dollars, those small dollars
collectively makes a tremendous exactly. difference. Yeah,
exactly. Everything, every little bit counts. And I will have to say, Sue is the one who really introduced me to how locally you guys are involved. And that was the Day of Caring. You organized that with Bergen.
With our Bergen group. Correct. You're right. Right. It's amazing seeing that. And that was the first time that you did that, right, Lisa? Mm-hmm. Just seeing the volunteers from all the organizations and companies out there working in the city, it was amazing. It was sad that we couldn't do it this year. Hopefully we can do it in September next year. But yeah, that Day of Caring just brings so much into improvement for our valley.
And it keeps growing. So our Day of Caring is really a big volunteer day. And it also kicks off our campaign every year. So what happens is, a lot of companies will bring a big group of volunteers to it. There's individuals, there's high school groups that come.
Yes.
And the last few years, what we've done is really a targeted sort of cleanup of a blighted neighborhood. And what I love about that is that you can drive down that street before it starts and it looks completely different after,
yes.
after the fact.
Like, yep. you see the changes that you're making. And I mean, it was great to get out there and do something and see the impact that it was making, like literally on an hour by hour basis.
Right.
But you also develop great relationships with people that you have never met before. I mean, you're all out there with the common objective.
Exactly.
And to be around like-minded people, you're definitely going to walk away from friendships and other people who care about the city just as much as you do, which is phenomenal.
And I think year before, well, because of COVID, we didn't do it this year, but we had over 1,200 volunteers the last time we had our Day of Caring. So it just keeps growing every
year. It was
year.
Intense.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It's hard work, isn't it?
It's hard work. And
oh my goodness.
We got so much done, though.
Yes.
It was so rewarding to see that afterwards.
I'm much better at removing things than planting things. So the fact that I just had to clean up sidewalks was a good position for me to be in, and not planting anything.
And you know, what's kind of cool is that there are a lot of people who have lived on the south side or the west mm-hmm. side for years. And, you know, maybe they have their nice little home and they've seen some, you know, some of the neighborhood maybe deteriorate a little bit because folks have moved out and there hasn't been the upkeep on some of the
yep.
houses. So we have those folks come out too and honestly say, you know, thank you for doing this. Mm-hmm. Thank you for cleaning up my neighborhood.
That's
you know,
right.
We appreciate all these volunteers. So
I think what it does too is that for the volunteers, even for myself, it gives us a sense of ownership in these neighborhoods. And I can honestly say that each time I drive by the neighborhoods that we've worked on, I look and say, oh yeah, we did that street. We
mm-hmm.
did that neighborhood. And it, you know, it helps to for me to see that that is still, you know, being taken care of and still in good condition.
Our volunteers have become we couldn't do our work without our volunteers. That's where we are now. With COVID, United Way started a weekly food distribution. But it was more than a food distribution. What we saw at, we'd see, you know, the different food distributions at the Canfield Fairgrounds in different places, which was, and the need was just tremendous. But we saw that there was a gap in people who maybe were shut in, elderly, didn't have transportation, and they couldn't get out to them. So for 8 consecutive weeks, behind Southwoods Hospital, Maransky's, mm-hmm. and PNC were big supporters of this, as well as the Neckerman and Lamb Foundation. We had volunteers pack food, and actually those volunteers would take enough for 6 stops, and they would deliver the food. And the folks were so grateful to receive it. And I know I went myself, and you forget that there's people who are very much by themselves through all mm-hmm. this, and don't even, and even for the social aspect. And we had people calling us and say, I have no food left and I can't get to the grocery store or a food distribution. This past Saturday, we had 700 cars come through for huge food distribution sponsored by the Maransky family, and it was at the Cavelli Center. And again, the folks were so grateful. We had volunteers packing those boxes all week and then work all day in the rain to make sure these folks had food. And I was telling, you know, Sue and a couple of my friends, what really stood out to me as I was working side by side with the volunteers, they were just as grateful to be there. A couple of them who I spoke with had lost somebody at Christmas time. This one gentleman in particular, and he was lost, you know, thinking it's the holidays and he had no one. And he goes, I'm so grateful to be here and be doing this. And you could really see that it was giving the volunteers purpose and giving them comfort too, because it, like you said, everyone was working together and it really was the community coming together to help.
Everyone wants to feel significant and feel like they're doing, at least I like to think everyone wants to think that they're doing something good for mm-hmm. other people. I mean, we're all just trying out there. And I think that's what I love about United Way and some of the others that have been on here too, is that it's not just about the money that you give. It's about showing up. Like you and what you can do. And like you said, Sue, like being able to put that sweat equity mm-hmm. in is so vitally important. And I just love the fact that you guys offer that ability for people who want to give back. I mean, that's extraordinary.
And it's interesting because it kind of evolved opposite on what you would think. So we may have had donors who supported us with dollars, and then we would say, would you like to volunteer? And they would say, yeah, you know, I'd like to volunteer. Well, and actually Women United had a big part in this. We started reaching out to volunteers, those people who wanted to volunteer. Well, what we found was once they volunteered, they really saw the work we were doing and wanted to donate. So it, you know, I really feel once you're a volunteer and you don't have to, but I mean, it's not mm-hmm. a necessity to volunteer,
yes.
but once you see that and you really understand it, then I think you're more apt to make a donation.
So you just touched a little bit about Women United.
Yay, Women yes. United.
So let's hear about that organization. And because that is, has that always been a branch, if you will, or under the umbrella of United Way?
So, I'll take this and then I'm going to pass it over to you, Sue. But when I started at United Way, which was 6 years ago, I went to a conference with a colleague, a United Way conference. And at that point, we realized we were one of the few local United Ways that did not have a strong women's group associated with it. And we learned that women were doing tremendous, tremendous things through United Way. We also learned that women were one of the largest growing philanthropy groups because women are taking control of their finances. Women control the finances in their families lot of cases. And maybe in the 1950s, it was the husband making those decisions. But now it was the women who, when they became passionate about something, they were really that growing and becoming those philanthropists in communities. So we came back and we reached out to some who we felt very passionate people. And one of those was Sue Filipovich. And I'm going to pass it over to you on that.
And I remember that day, Stacia, 5 years ago. Women United locally has been in the Valley for 5 years. And Stacia said, hey, we have this organization that we want to bring to the local level. Would you be interested in being part of the startup of this? And I didn't have to really think twice about it. Once Stacia talked a little bit more about it and saying and knowing that the whole objective would be for women to come together and help anybody in the community, kids, elderly, families, other women, and where there was a need, then we would be there and rise up together and help together. So I said, let's start this and start working in the community. So that's how it started 5 years ago. I did have some experience through my other workplace at the time, but seeing it in action and seeing this develop through these last 5 years has been amazing. And like you said before, these volunteers, they want to do this. It's not for any accolades or really any recognition, but it truly is from the heart. And you know, being able to say that, okay, I helped the neighbor in the next street over versus... And nothing against sending money across the country or across the world. We need that as well. But keeping it here locally for our own community is something that is really important for us.
Yeah, and we started out saying, you know, we're just going to be a roll up the sleeves, get to work. Not some Women United groups start out where you're part of the leadership. So in other words, in order to be in Women United, you would have to give at a certain giving level. And we kind of did it backwards there too. We were like, no, we want passionate women. And then if they can contribute and would like to donate, hopefully they will. And what we've been able to do, for instance, even through COVID, we had Leslie Kitchen over at Taft, who's on our steering committee. She said, you know, the schools are closed, the libraries are closed, these kids don't have reading material this summer. Is there any way Women United could help? And we did. We had we had done some fundraising, so we had a pot of money. So we had a book drive, we got jump ropes, chalk. We put together a really nice little packet and they handed them out during the food distributions that they were having so the kids would have something to do. And we did school supplies this fall to take so the kids could have them at home because a lot of them didn't have school supplies at home. But we've done habitat builds every year too.
The Young Women's Mentorship Program started at, I think we started that in Struthers.
Young Women's Mentorship was
and
at
Boardman.
Yeah, Boardman and Taft, yes. Mm-hmm. Tell about that experience.
So, yeah, that, which there wasn't anything in our valley that we knew of for that, but women mentoring young women in the middle school age, which is such a crucial age
for
girls. Mm-hmm. And so the Women United group came aboard and mentored certain girls each week. We went in and spent time with them, worked on personal goals, their academic goals, things that they were going through, and just, you know, learning how to react and work through certain situations. So it was such a positive experience and something that continued to develop through the years and grow in the schools.
Yeah, and continues to grow. Mm-hmm. This year, virtual,
yes,
of course, which I know a lot of the girls – are, I've heard, are, you know, disappointed that they're not having that one-on-one with their mentors. But, you know, hopefully that will change soon.
It's amazing. So you, because for social media wise, we talk about the young kids and like how it's always social media, texting, everything. I think that there's going to be this whole resurgence of actually like face-to-face conversations, phone calls, everything after, once they have the ability to do it and not be
taking it for granted.
Yes, right? Exactly. I really do think, and I always, like, I find myself too texting a lot or whatever, but there's nothing better than a phone call. Mm-hmm. You will get things so much more quickly resolved without any confusion if a phone call is made versus a text message.
Right.
And it's also nice to give good news that way as well, instead of versus just a text. But so Women's United, how would I get to join Women's United?
I'll sign you up right now.
That easy.
Actually, you can go to our website, ymvunitedway.org. That stands for Youngstown Mahoning Valley. ymvunitedway.org. You could also honestly just call the office too, and we'll get you on the, what we have is an e-newsletter that goes out once a month, and it talks about volunteer opportunities coming up if we need help with anything. We do have a steering committee that meets every other month. But really, we tried to gear it toward, we know everybody's busy. We don't expect the same people to volunteer for every single thing. We try to put a few different opportunities on there. Hey, can you do this? Would you like to? And if you can, then you email us and we put you on the list. So it's pretty easy and harmless. And
one of the other things too that we've been doing and had to postpone a few times since of COVID, but is a more of a networking event too with women.
Yes.
So we have our Women's Wednesdays, and that's been every other month up until a few months back. And it's such a great opportunity to meet other women as well in business and the community. And then the results from that are working together on a volunteer level. But that has really opened up the connections with women here in the area.
We started that about over a year ago, almost.
Almost two years ago, in January. I believe.
We found that there were women who really wanted to hang out with women.
Yes.
It's a couple hours. Yes.
And you have
come for an
glass
hour
of wine or two.
Right.
So we try to do it at a local business. We try to get a sponsor who's a business owner. So Bergen Real Estate sponsored one of the first ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we then have that business owner have the opportunity to talk a little bit about their business, and we all trade business cards, and it's very casual, no long program at all. It's just sort of, getting to know each other. How can we support each other and our businesses? And then we always let everyone know about any upcoming volunteer needs at that. So
when you got here, you mentioned about Penguin City, which that is what we're drinking right now. We're enjoying some Penguin City. You guys might not know this, but Ellie Platt, Homes and Hop sponsor, invited me to the Prima Women's United event and the Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is before Prima opened. So this is...
This was
a while back.
Right.
So, and that is when the first conversation with Aspasia, with Penguin City, and I began when it came to the acquisition of the Republic Building.
Oh, really?
Yes. So I had seen the Republic Building. I had posted it on Facebook a while back. And I know Penguin City was looking... Or I didn't know, but knew that they were looking at various locations throughout the city and trying to find a space. So I started to talk to Aspasia about the Republic Building that I love so much. And I was like, I can picture you there. It would be perfect. And she said, I can't believe you brought that up to me because that I've always loved that building. So the following week, we went to see it And then the conversations commenced. Now, that was probably like 8, 9, how long ago. So commercial real estate takes a little bit more time. But
as we're talking today, that was made public.
Yes.
That they're going to do that. Yeah. And maybe Women United gets a finder's fee or something for that. I don't know.
It's definitely worth joining people. So, yeah, that's it happened there. Women's United event at Prima. Mm-hmm. Downtown Youngstown. I feel like the whole everything about it was absolutely perfect. And I truly do feel Penguin City and Aspasia, you guys know, is so into helping.
And they are a tremendous supporter of United Way as well. So we really appreciate our partnership with them as well.
Yeah, they're phenomenal. And their beer is really good. So that works out for everyone, doesn't it? But so I know how Sue got involved because of you. Now, how did you get involved with United Way?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I for 25 years was a news anchor here in Youngstown. I was here for about 8 years on WYTV. I worked with Stan Boney and Len Rome and Bob Hannon. I then went to Pittsburgh for 10 years and worked at WPXI as an anchor there. I was commuting the whole time. I always lived here in the Valley. My kids went to school here. So after 10 years of commuting and having young children at the time, I made a decision that I wanted to work where I was living and give back to my community. My initial thought was I wanted to go into nonprofit. My initial job back was not nonprofit. It was with the Business Journal and my very good friend, Andrea Wood. So I started their online video platform.
Wow.
The Daily Buzz. At that point, she was, you know, very at the forefront of thinking what needed to come next. And they didn't have a video platform at that point. So hired photographers, hired editors, got the equipment and started a little business newscast. Which I loved, and the Business Journal is just a wonderful place to work for, and the work they're doing is, I think, unmatched there. But in the back of my head, I really felt like I wanted to move into nonprofit. I started taking some classes at the Metro College and grant writing and, you know,
grant
some
writing
other things.
Is a beast of its own.
and it didn't deter me though. No. And I'd been talking to Bob Hannon, who, if you don't know, moved from being a sports director to the president of United Way, though he is still the voice of the Penguins football.
Yes.
So I'd been talking with him on and off during my time at the Business Journal, and a position opened up as resource development director, and we felt it was a fit, and I decided to move to United Way, and I have loved it now as vice president, and seen it really go through some major changes over the years to where we're really making, I think, some unbelievable impact in our community.
You truly are. And like we said, the Day of Caring and events like that, you visibly see it. And that eyesight is extremely important, because you know that you're not just giving money, or whether you're delivering food, whatever it may be. It's really important to be able to see the dollars going to work and making such a positive impact.
You know,
and filling voids.
Right. And I think one thing you brought up, that, you know, in the past you'd heard about people doing the payroll deduction. I know, you know.
And I honestly never thought about where the money was going. Like, I was like, sure, and checked off. And
I know there were some companies, you know, bless them, who were very forceful about, you will give to United Way. And that has completely changed. Now, we never want anybody to give because they feel, you know, that they should, or that it's part of their workplace, so they have to. And that's why we really like them to come out and see what we're doing. Or that's why we definitely every year want to go talk to the employees of that company and report back to them on where their dollars are going. We never want anybody to feel, you know, that they're obligated to give. We want them to know that their money is going to where they think it's going to really make a difference and them to feel part of it.
So with 2020 being impacted as it was, mm-hmm. with a lot of events and probably redirecting, like you said, when it came to how you support other organizations, you obviously were quicker to respond to the needs that people have because the needs have just rapidly grown.
Absolutely.
So with that, what are you guys looking to when it comes to 2021? I mean, I feel like everybody has their predictions of what 2021 is going to look like. So how are you guys preparing when it comes to Women United? How are you guys organizing and thinking how 2021 is going to look for you? And United Way, like when it comes to events, are you still looking towards the Day of Caring? All of those things, are you like, let's move forward and move ahead and then have to, if it ends up not being what we hope it to be, redirecting and rechanging things pretty much like we did in 2020? Because we definitely have learned that we can mm-hmm. Make quick decisions, whether we want, like the decision we have to make or not.
I'm gonna first let Sue answer this in terms of Women United. One thing I will say is Sue is president of Women United, and her term was to have ended in December. And she came to me and she said, with everything going on, I would really like to stay on another year. She said, I just feel like there's more I want to do with Women United. So we really appreciated that because many of our events were cut short or didn't happen. And so, that meant a lot to me because a lot of times when you're an officer in a nonprofit, it's like, whew, my term is over.
I didn't get that feeling. I'm like, I haven't done anything. I need another chance.
Yeah,
we all
yeah.
need another year, another opportunity.
Yep.
And
yeah.
to answer your question, Lisa, it is, we are definitely putting that ahead of us as far as the planning and looking to fundraiser next year. And we're not going to stop. So like you said, if it's something that we have to postpone for a little while, then we can do that. But in the meantime, we're going to keep moving forward. And, you know, our volunteers want to do even more. So there's no reason to stop that momentum and wait for something else to happen. We want to make it happen.
That's awesome.
And in terms of United Way, like most nonprofits, we had to cancel all our fundraisers this year. So
yep.
we took a hit, and most nonprofits took a hit because they couldn't have these big fundraisers. We did end up having an online virtual event, an auction, and people responded amazingly. So we are so grateful for those who did, take part in that. And people have really stepped up above and beyond. I'm not going to say it was an easier by any means for
no.
campaign. It's been much harder, and the need has been greater. But when I look back at where we thought we would be at the end of our campaign, I'm truly amazed by the people who were able to keep their jobs, were able to be blessed and not have been maybe as affected by this time. They stepped up more this year. And so that is something that you hear it, and it's true that this valley is extremely generous and people take care of each other here.
It's an incredible area. And that has always been one of the theme when I talk with people, whether it be the brewers or other local restaurants or businesses, nonprofits. I think the common theme is, what a great community we live in. We really do. We are very lucky. And I know you didn't live in Pittsburgh, but you worked in Pittsburgh, and it's no knock to Pittsburgh. I love DC. I lived in DC for how long? But the community strength and bond and love, it's here. And I have not seen that replicated anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we're hopefully all rooting for each other. You know,
exactly.
When you hear that Aspatia and Penguin City, mm-hmm. you know, purchased this building and their plans for it, you're rooting for it. When you hear, you know, Kat Federer came back and mm-hmm. they redid the B&O and you're rooting for them. And we go, well, we have to go there for an event because we have to support that, right? You know, Derek.
Yep.
McDowell buys a, you know, the
which
building.
Which is right down. Across mm-hmm. the street.
Right, right.
Which is phenomenal. A whole new area of the city.
And they're having an artists event this weekend for mm-hmm. Christmas, last or minute they? Christmas gifts.
That's so right. Saturday and Sunday. We'll be here. So my son makes dog treats to fundraise for animal charity. So all the money he makes, except for the cost or supplies, because he still needs to learn a business is a business.
Right.
Will go to animal charity.
That's wonderful. Excellent.
He's been, via the Flea, Youngstown Flea, he has been able to donate, I want to say, over $1,500 so far this year. And for a 12-year-old boy, and it's all him. I have nothing to do with it. So, and nobody would want me baking anyway, so.
He must have a good mom.
he's and a good father. He is amazing. And he probably gets a little bit more help on the baking end with dad versus mom, but but I help with the packaging. That's what I'm good at. Everybody takes their strengths, but it's just amazing the things that are happening in this area. It's amazing, and it is to the grace of organizations such as yourself. And the fact I did not know about Women United and mentoring girls at the middle mm-hmm. school age. And you're right. It is imperative. It's super imperative for girls to see other women and see what their lives are like. So they know like what they could achieve. I always say this is probably wrong. I always tell, cause I know this won't really happen, but I always tell my boys no dating. And I mean serious dating, no girlfriends until after college when you have your well-established career. And I joked to them, I said, not only is dating seriously a distraction from what your goals are, I go, but you're preventing that girl from being the next CEO. So I'm like, you got to make sure that women are lifted and little girls are lifted to know absolutely. Everything mm-hmm. that they can become.
And I think with the beauty, too, of the Young Women's Mentorship Program is every one of those women volunteers have had struggles and have a story. Mm-hmm. And for them to be able to share and those girls see, wow, that happened to you. And yet here you are,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think that just is really important. Like you said, for girls, for any child to see someone who looks like them.
Mm-hmm.
As a successful in their career, in their life, and
exactly.
know that they had struggles too, and not give up, you know, at that point.
We have a lot more strength than we know we have.
Right.
So to become a member of Women United, Sue, how do we do that?
Well, you can call United Way office and just say you want to be a member. You can go to the website, YMV United Way. Mm-hmm. And there will be a drop down. You can say that you want to be a member, and then you'll get our e-newsletters. And from then on, you know, we'll be in communication with you to let you know what's going on with United Way. Or you can call me. Call me and say, hey, I want to be a member, and be glad to sign you up.
That's perfect. And then if I want to be able to donate or volunteer time, whether monetary or my sweat equity, like I call mm-hmm. it, how would I be able to do that, Stacia?
So again, you can go to our website to donate. You can do it by credit card. You can do it even online. You have the option to contribute on a monthly basis through your credit card.
Ah.
So that's something. You can text to give. There are a lot of different ways, but yeah, I would say go to our website first, see what the options are, what you feel most comfortable with. You can just send a check to the office too, and we'll be in touch with you and thank you for that. As far as volunteering, our volunteer coordinator is also our communications director, Roxanne Seabest. So you can call the office, you can email her. And we are also going to be launching a brand new volunteer hub, online hub.
This is
sort of breaking news.
I'm not sure
if I'm even allowed to say this at this point now, but it's called Get Connected.
Okay.
And the plan is it will be the hub for all nonprofits. So if where everyone can put their volunteer events on there or that they need help with, that you'll be able to go see which nonprofits need help at this point. And it really, it's something that hasn't been here since, I don't know if you remember that, the Hands-On Network, I believe it was. Probably 7 years ago, maybe. There really hasn't been this volunteer hub, but we feel that this will be able to help all nonprofits, not only United Way. And it's really something that's needed and something that's wanted in our community.
That sounds awesome.
There'll be much more on that coming out, but you know, I think it will really be in 2021. In full swing.
That's perfect. See, good things do come out of 2020. Well, thank you, ladies, so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Thank you for having us.
And I hope that we have a great 2021.
We have to.
We will. We will. I really do.
There's nowhere else to go.
I know. But literally, we can't.
Yeah.
But I always say, when people say, I can't wait for 2020 to go. And I do understand that we have definitely dealt with a lot of trials, but there have been those tribulations. So I think some good things have come out of 2020. I think our resilience and our strength will help us get through the first part of 2021 much easier.
I think we've all learned a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, you know, it's a learning experience. It's made us more aware of maybe some of the areas we need to make sure we're focusing on to
help. Just more sensitive about others' needs.
Exactly.
Yes. I see that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yep.
All right, ladies, are you ready for the rapid fire round?
Ready.
We are.
All right. So, Sue, what is your favorite local beer or brewery?
My favorite local beer is Penguin City. When it came out, like, this is exactly my speed.
There you go.
The original Penguin City beer.
Good thing I had us drinking
Good
that
thing.
Today.
I know. Well, I have a tie. Can I say too?
Yes,
tie.
You can.
Okay. Penguin City. Yes. I love also Birdfish.
Oh, yeah.
I have to, yeah, give a shout out down to Birdfish.
100%. Yep. They do. They're very creative with all their names.
Oh, yes, they are.
Yeah. I love it. I don't have that creativity.
They have all different kind of sours now, and then they have a coffee one. So their
Buckeye State of Mind is one of my favorites, and that is it's similar to Sweet Baby Jesus in Baltimore. So it's the chocolate peanut butter, but not a knock on Sweet Baby Jesus, but it's better. Their Buckeye State
about
of Mind.
Chocolate peanut butter beer.
Give it a shot. You'll
literally,
like it.
Literally.
Yeah. Okay. What's your favorite local restaurant?
I'm going with Homestead.
Okay.
I'm going to go with one. It brings me back to the days of my grandmother. She's an Italian grandmother. She made wonderful sauce, wonderful chicken, wonderful pasta. Scarsella's on Market Street. They have the red and white check tablecloths. Mm-hmm. It smells like my grandma's house.
Aww.
So
that's a good one.
And their food is really good.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. All right. What is your favorite local gem in the area?
I think I'd have to go with Mill Creek. I know that's not very original, but I mean, how can you beat it, honestly?
I mean, if people can't get drilled into the Mill Creek and getting out there and enjoying our beautiful city park, I don't know what else we can do. It is gorgeous there. I love it.
I'm with you on Mill Creek, Stacia. However, I like, and there's actually more than one of these, but the bike trails in the area.
Oh.
There's the Canfield Fairgrounds. There's the Lowville Bike Trail. There's the Latonia and Columbiana Lisbon Trail.
Oh, you're going to be super excited about the bike path that they're connecting from the city.
I can't wait.
Yeah, by the river. That's going to be tremendous.
That's going to be awesome. They're working on it right now. So for those of you who get agitated about the work being construction and everything, Derek McDowell, Youngstown Flea, and I told him I stole this from him, but I do give him credit, has said, when you see the construction and the work being done on the roads, know that means things are happening. And that is a prime example of that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's exciting.
All right. Well, now, thank you, ladies, for coming on. And I hope to see you guys soon.
Yeah. Happy holidays to you.
I know. Happy holidays.